The book of Acts, chapter 15, continuing on with our story. Could you imagine going off on this great tour? We call it a tour, but this evangelistic tour where you're going to a foreign land, to people who haven't heard anything about Jesus, and you sharing with them and receiving the response that we had read that was received. Could you imagine coming back to your home church or to the church that sent you out? You would be excited to tell them all about the stories. You would come in, you would say, "You guys won't believe what happened. There were hundreds, there were thousands of people hanging on every word that we said. And when we spoke, we had boldness, and God moved through us, and many people came, and they believed on Jesus. It was amazing. In fact, there was this lame man who couldn't walk from birth, and God healed him, and he jumped up, and he received God. And then there was this time where they stoned Paul. They were throwing all these stones at him, and they thought he was dead, carried him outside the city, and he just pops up and says, "Let's go back in." I mean, could you imagine the excitement that you would have from an adventure like that? It'd be pretty neat, wouldn't it? And then imagine coming back to your church and saying, "Hey, check this out. This is what happened." And to have them say, "Well, it's not legit. All those things are good, but it's not really legitimate. I don't think they're saved." "Well, what do you mean they're not saved?" "Well, no, we saw it. We saw the power of God." "Well, you didn't follow the right formula, so they're not saved." "What do you mean the formula?" "They must be circumcised." Talk about taking the air out of the balloon, taking the excitement out of it. And that's exactly what we see happening in chapter 15. We're only going through five verses this morning. So if you are at Acts chapter 15, we'll start in verse 1. "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.' Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, describing the conversations of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. But when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, 'It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.'" Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. And even though this seems silly to us as we read through it, this whole issue of keeping the law and circumcision, and how quickly we can say, "Oh, those silly Jews, they missed the whole point." While we do that, we hang on to the same principles. And while it may not be the topic of circumcision and keeping the law with us, it can be about our traditions and our rituals and our beliefs that we have, even to this day, that we have to do certain things to be saved. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would just free us of that today. Because there's only one thing that saves us: the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He said, "It is finished." And Lord, may we just be just embedded with that this morning. May that just be so infused to us this morning that we don't get stuck in these silly rituals and religions and thoughts and traditions that we have to add things to our salvation. Do a marvelous work with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as soon as I say, "Hey, you have to be circumcised to be saved," many of you would be like, "What? No. No. In fact, we don't even really have that issue today because circumcision is just something that everybody does for health reasons, as they call it, right? As soon as you're born, oh, we have to circumcise you. It's better. The whole religious element of it is taken out of it. We don't think anything of it. We still kind of struggle with keeping the commandments a little bit, the Ten Commandments, maybe even boiling those down to the two. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. We even struggle with those a little bit. In fact, many conversations, and I'm not sure what kind of conversation I'm going to have after church with the person we prayed for, but most of the time when I've dealt with people in that situation, they've said, oh, you don't understand. There's no way that God can accept me. You don't know what I've done. I've had that conversation so many times. And what happens is when we think that, we are bringing law and law-keeping back into the equation. And even as we mature as Christians, we still like to try to sneak it in every once in a while. Someone will say, well, I'm a Christian. You'll say, oh, really? What church do you go to? Oh, well, I don't really go to a church. Oh, then you can't possibly be a Christian because you have to go to church. Now, we all understand as mature Christians that we are not to forsake the gathering of the saints because of the equipping, the edification that happens, and it's important to gather. But if we think we have to come to church in order to be a Christian, then we might as well think we have to be circumcised. If we think, oh, we have to belong to a certain religion or denomination. Oh, that's silly. Oh, you think it's silly, but there's many groups out there that believe that very thing. What do you mean you're not part of us? Well, I'm sorry, I'll pray for your salvation. What do you mean? Oh, you see, you can't go to heaven unless you're part of us. Somebody says, well, I believe in God. And you say, oh, okay, tell me about your conversion. Did you sign a card? Did you come up to the front? Did you say a certain prayer, follow a certain set of words? Well, no, I didn't do any of that. I just believed in my heart. Well, listen, we better go through this because I don't know if you're saved or not. We've just said you have to be circumcised. Oh, I'm saved. Have you been baptized? Well, no. Oh, you know what? Baptism is required for salvation. There are some groups that believe that. We better get you baptized right now, because if you're not baptized, I don't think you're going to make it. You might as well say you have to be circumcised. You see how we bring all the other principles in? And I'll even take it down to a very fine line, a very gray area. And we can even look at someone and say, you know what? You say you're a Christian, but your life sometimes doesn't look like it. I doubt your salvation because I saw you get mad at somebody once. I see that you're hanging on to some anger. I see that you're judging others. I see that you're doing this. I doubt you're a Christian. Isn't it the same church? And the reason I say that is because you might think you're perfect, but I got news for you. You're not. Just like I'm not. Heidi, cover your ears. I'm not perfect. She didn't have to cover her ears for that. I try to tell her I am, and she's like, what are you talking about, Willis? Man, even my kids. I can't even lie because all my kids are here today. The point is as soon as we start casting judgment upon other people, we set ourselves up for judgment. We must understand that we are all falling short. We all are full of sin. And there's nobody that's any better than anybody else. We have to be careful with that. We like to judge, especially as we mature in our faith. Well, I don't see so-and-so at the Bible study. You know, they never come to the Bible study. You know, that person during worship is sitting down looking at their phone. That person never prays when we have corporate prayer. I doubt they're saved. I really question their salvation. Now, and who are you to judge that? Because you're judging the outward appearance of them, which, guess what, is circumcision. It was a physical sign of their commitment to God, the cutting away of the flesh. That's where it came from. We cut away the flesh. We are circumcised. We are set apart for God. It was a physical sign. And sometimes we do that. We can't judge somebody's heart by the way they worship or by the way they pray or by their attendance. Now, there is that you judge a tree by its fruit. I understand that. But the mature Christian knows how to properly balance that. The overzealous Christian, the one stuck in their ways, stuck in their traditions, who start to slip back into keeping the law, will be the one that says, that person doesn't serve enough. That person doesn't read enough. That person doesn't pray. You know what? During worship, that person isn't singing. That dirty heathen. And you have to watch it, church, because you know what? You are solely responsible for one. That is yourself. And if you would spend all that time and effort that you use judging other people, worrying about yourself, you might get it right. Just saying. But we all slip into that. And we all have to guard against that. And we have to be so careful. Now, check it out in verse 1. Certain men came down. These might be the same ones that were following Paul and Barnabas around. Remember, everywhere they went, they preached the good news. These Jews would come in behind them and go, no, they got it all wrong. Because at that time, understand this, at the time, Christianity, what we know it as today, was a cult of the Jews. They came out of the Jews, yes, but they were going off on this tangent. You don't need the law anymore. Moses, Abraham, those guys are important, yes, but listen, it's all about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who, if you study the Old Testament, if you study the law and the prophets, all prophesied to tell about him. You guys just missed the boat. So it came out of it, but they still wanted to hang on to it. Now, why do we like to hang on to stuff like that? I'll tell you, because the flesh loves accomplishments, right? When I read my Bible, I'm like, yes, I did it. And then I'm up tweeting about it. I read my Bible today. Facebook post, me reading my Bible. Right? Why? Because we want to see all the thumbs up. We want to see everybody saying, good job, you did it. If you're doing it for that motivation, oh, you might as well just be dancing around as you drop your tithe in the box and God says, you know what, go ahead and keep it. Keep it. But the flesh loves it. When you come and serve, you feel good, don't you? When you pray and when you come to the Bible studies and you come to church and you do all these things, It fills you up. It edifies you, just as the Bible says it will. But we take that spiritual edification and we apply it physically, and now we like the accomplishments. We like when people say, oh, you know what? When we have church, when those doors open, you can count on that person always being there. Yeah, I am there, aren't I? It's pride. It puffs us up. And we like that. The Bible says, let another man esteem you. Just go about your business. And we always play into an audience of one anyway. And that is God. Because I'm going to tell you something, especially being in the position I'm in. Man, you have more critics than you have fans. And we've got three of them, four, six of them. So we've got six fans in here. Okay, that was a total joke. They never criticize. Sometimes that one squeaks, though, I'm telling you. We have to gear it down a little bit. But people are always ready for their criticism. And they, oh, I just love you. I just love your brother. But you know what? You should ease up on that sin bird. I just love you. But you know what? You need to go knock on everybody's door. I just love you. But you know what? You should really work on your pronunciation a little bit. I just love you, but you know what? You need to be here at a certain time when church opens. Thank you. That's great. It's awesome. We have lots of critics. And honestly, and anybody that's been up here, Dennis, Dave, anybody that's ever taught, even Chris, as he played with us, or any of the worship team, you guys know. We try to be tough. We try to have that thick skin, but that stuff sinks in like a hot knife. And it stews, and the enemy loves it. And you walk out of here going, man, you know what? I failed again. And you hold on to that. You know, three people said, oh, that was a great sermon. Good job. That was a great song. Oh, you guys sound so good. We don't remember any of that. Remember that one little comment. And the enemy uses it to just deflate you. And so we have to be careful. One, be careful of the expectation we put on people. And two, be careful that we're not slipping these things in. Just like they did here. These certain men came down, they said, listen, look at the words, guys. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Those are strong words. You cannot be saved. All this hope, all this, and, you know, this wonderful hope, the good news, that we've strived and strived and strived, and we can never get back with God under our own power. The wonderful gospel message that Jesus paid it all just went, guess I'm in trouble because I got to be circumcised. Man, there's more I have to do. And chances are it doesn't end there because, oh, now that you're circumcised, you have to start going to Sabbath on Saturday because, you know, that's what Moses said. Oh, and by the way, you better put away the bacon. Can't eat that no more. Oh, and in addition to that, you have to be baptized. You see how it just kind of continues? And now, I'm being saved in what? Works. You know, circumcision is a work. It's an act. God didn't circumcise anybody. Jesus didn't, upon that cross with the thief on his side, says, what do I have to do? Remember me in paradise tonight. Not what do I have to do, but remember me in paradise. Jesus didn't say, okay, God, we have to call time out. Freeze time. All right, let's get down off this cross. All right, anybody got a knife handy? Let me circumcise you. But notice it was according to the custom of Moses, so it couldn't just been done on the spot. It had to be done in a certain way on a certain day. So, okay, we just got to freeze until this time comes around and we do it. All this stuff. Okay, now, get back up on the cross. All right, good. Game on. Tonight you'll be with me in paradise. We didn't read any of that, did we? If circumcision was necessary for salvation, God loved that person so much, you would have guaranteed that he would have done that. It wasn't there. By the way, baptism didn't happen either. When the jailers were talking with Paul, and they said, hey, what do I have to do to be saved? What did he say? He said, believe on the Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's all he said, right? No, and be baptized, and be circumcised, and go to church on a certain day, and go to a certain church, and stop eating this, and all these things. So what was the result of this? Well, it really irritated Paul and Barnabas because it wasn't the case. It's no physical sign. That was something set apart by God in the Old Testament showing the coming Christ. That this was a set group of people that we are setting apart to bring in the Messiah. God never intended circumcision to be any other value than a sign. That's all he said. And if you want to read about that, that's in Genesis chapter 17, verses 10 through 14. You can read all about it. Even speaking with Abraham, who was the father of all these, what did it say about father Abraham? and said, his faith is what saved him. His faith, not his works. His faith. Moving on, so verse 2, it really stirred up Paul and Barnabas. When it says no small dissension, it means they were fired up. They were fired up. They disputed with him. Now, you're talking about innocence here. You're talking about hindering people from God. And that's when God gets mad. That's when tables get flipped, by the way. That's when whips get made. When people hinder the accessibility to God. What did God do when Jesus was on that cross? He rent the barrier, the veil. He rent it in two. He opened the access. And how dare any one of us get in the way and say, oh, wait a minute. I know that the veil was rent, but there's still some obstacles you have to open. The same principle. So it really made them mad. And we have to be careful with that too. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him. That's all. That's it. There's no ands. Believes and be baptized and is circumcised and joins a certain church. How many churches were around when Jesus was crucified? None. When was the church birthed? In Acts, when the Holy Spirit came down. So even the church wasn't necessary for salvation. Understand that? Well, I have to be a pastor to lead somebody to salvation. No, you don't. Where's that in the New Testament? Where's that at? It's not there. You have to say a certain pattern. You have to go through the Romans road. You have to. Where's that in the New Testament? Where's that on the cross? It all. You can always point right to that cross, the thief on the cross, and say, you know what? What happened there? Remember me when you're in paradise tonight. Okay, that was it. There was no, okay, Lord, I believe in this, and I believe you got off the cross, and we're in the tomb for 3 days. And I believe that you're the Son of God. There's none of that in that man's request to be remembered. Why? Because I'm going to say this. What's more important than the words that come out of your mouth? The condition of your heart. And who knows the condition of your heart? God. God knows the condition. And God alone. Now, if you were sitting there, sometimes we get judgmental. And if you were sitting there at that scene, looking at this transaction happen, would you go, whoa, 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 whoa. No, Jesus, he has to say the Romans road. No, 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 Jesus, he has to say, he's believing that you're doing this and you're going to on the third day rise again. Oh, and then he has to stand up and raise his hand. You got it all wrong. Or would you say that, or would you maybe thinking through that through your mind? Here's the deal. That's what we do today. When reality is you have no idea the condition of that person's heart. Who does the saving, church? God does the saving. It's not man's words or man's pattern or man's structure that does any saving at all. Well, what about confess with your mouth and believe? Yet, listen, there's many ways to confess with your mouth, isn't there? Doesn't mean you have to stand up in church, and I've had pastors tell me that. Well, they have to make a public proclamation that they're believing in Jesus to solidify the deal. So that means they have to stand up in church when you're given the salvation message. I don't agree with that. In fact, I would say this. I would say that would hinder somebody. That might hinder somebody. Guess what? You know what standing up is? Circumcision. In my opinion, what's the difference? Because this is a work. Well, what about professing with your mouth? Like I said, that can go about in many different ways. You can go home with whoever you came to church with today. Say, you know, I said that prayer. I believe Jesus. Boom! You just confess with your mouth. You could go up to the pastor after church and say, you know what, I said that prayer. You just confess with your mouth. So you see how we put this thing into a cookie cutter, and then we'll make it not legitimate, we'll delegitimize it. Is that a good word? Yes, I got one. So now you cannot say I don't have my prayer station today. Check. You take it away. And it's sad because I can't believe how many times I've been told that. And you better watch what you say, because if you don't say it a certain way, it doesn't count. I've had churches within our group say, if you don't have them stand at the invitation, it doesn't count. Guys, that just crushes my soul, because that's not what I see. That's showboating. But their eyes are all closed. Now, let me say this. There are churches that do it. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you why I don't do it. Okay? Don't go to a church and go, oh, Pastor Bill said this is wrong. You better sit down. It's just like passing a plate. Pastor Bill said not to do it. No. Listen, I'm not saying that. To each their own. Okay? I'm just saying from what I read and from what God tells me, this is what we're going to do here. I'm not saying the church down the road. If you come forward and say the salvation prayer, you raise your hand, that's a work. I'm not going to say that, because at the end of the day, even if I go through the works, who knows my heart? God. So if I say that it's not right, guess what I'm doing? I'm now judging. I'm judging those that are judging me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope so. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversations with the Gentile, and they caused great joy to the brethren. So there were some that received it with great news. When they come to Jerusalem, they're received by the church, and the apostles and the elders report all things that God had done. Just like I said, they were excited. What would God do? Some of the sect of the Pharisees. Whoa! What, Pharisees? Now, going through the gospel, that was a bad dude. That was an opponent of God. But check it out. Some of them believed. Just like there's Jews today who can see clearly through the scripture and go, you know what, I believe in Jesus. There were Pharisees that read through the scripture and go, yeah, this guy's it. Sadly, no Sadducee reported as being a believer. And by the way, who was one of the chief Pharisees to be a believer in Jesus Christ? Paul. So just because they're a Pharisee doesn't mean there's not hope for them. It is sad, though, that we don't see any Sadducees. But there are some Pharisees, but they're still hanging on to it. And they're saying it's necessary for circumcision and to keep the law of Moses. By the way, as we've been trucking through Acts, notice the pattern here. When this big issue kind of comes up and it gets distributed to the churches, what does Paul do? He writes a letter. So remember what was happening when the first letter, James, went out. Persecution. They were all being persecuted, right? The new Roman Empire had turned. They were starting to become Christians, but they started to now really put the pressure on. And so James, the brother, not the brother, but James the apostle, writes this letter. No, James the brother writes a letter. James the brother, the apostle, was the one that was stoned. That's right. Okay. So James writes this letter and says it's all about counting it joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations, because they were under a lot of persecution. So now the Jerusalem council is coming together and they're starting to have this debate, this big thing about, yeah, you can be a Christian, but you got to keep the law. Guess what book's about to come next? Galatians. And so after we read through this council here a little bit, we'll go into the book of Galatians, because Galatians battles that. It's not about works. And that's what's upcoming. But keeping the law of Moses, keeping these rules, we have to guard ourselves all the time with this. Because even though in our position we don't say we need circumcision, we don't see the law, we do start to slip into other things. Have you found yourself judging somebody because of the way they worship? Or maybe they don't worship. Maybe they're just standing there looking at you like a deer in the headlights. How do you know what's going on in their heart? Just because they're not singing the song, just because their eyes aren't closed, just because they ain't swaying, just because their arms aren't up, doesn't mean they're not worshiping church. Just because somebody doesn't come to church consistently doesn't mean they're not a believer. Just because somebody never comes to the prayer meeting or doesn't come to one of the Bible studies doesn't mean they're not a believer. We have to drop that. Just because somebody doesn't serve, every time we have an event, we can count on that person not being there, doesn't mean they don't believe. Just because a person dresses a certain way doesn't mean they don't believe. When you start to do that, you might as well tell them they must be circumcised and keep the law. So kind of briefly covering that today. We'll continue on next week, picking up in verse 6 with this Jerusalem council. This Jerusalem council is the council that is including Paul and Peter and Barnabas. It's basically a lot of the inside people that were with Jesus kind of kicking off the church, kind of holding everything together, kind of setting some sort of an example. And they kind of said this is what needs to happen. A lot of the ways of church, the way the church was going to go from that point on was established from this council. So kind of important. And we'll get into that a little bit more as Peter addresses them next week. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your word this morning. And even though it was a brief word, we still want to make sure that we guard our hearts, because it slips in so subtly. This criticism, this judgment. And if we would just spend so much time focusing upon you and our relationship with you, and not worry so much about others. This week I've been reminded over and over again that we run our own race. We're not racing against the other person, but we're running our own race, and that we finish it well. And sometimes we don't run well when we're worried about what other people are doing. And so, Lord, if that's our heart, if that has been our heart, we just ask for your forgiveness. We seek you. We seek your grace and your mercy. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you thought it was about works. Maybe you thought it was about religion, what you did. Maybe the enemies even came in and tried to tell you that you really weren't saved because you didn't go through certain steps or you didn't do something. This morning, be assured that God loved you so much that the only requirement was sin. It was the Lamb of God that takes away all the sins of the world. And that 2,000 years ago, he took your place on that cross. All that is required is belief that he did that. We call that faith. Faith is being fully persuaded that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And we understand that there is a response to that, and if we really believe that, then we do change, because the responsiveness does require change. But the responsiveness is not a condition of salvation. Those words, it is finished, it is done, paid in full. Just shouting his name to that cross. And so this morning, if you've been struggling, free yourself from the works of religion and tradition. And just say, Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus took my place. And I receive him as my Lord. Spoke about it earlier. The Bible says that if you believe that in your heart, confess that with your mouth, you are saved. So I would encourage you to tell somebody. Maybe you're here this morning and you found yourself in the position of that mature Christian and you start judging other people. That you think it's your job to call other people out. And maybe this morning you need to ask for freedom from that critical, judgmental spirit. Stop worrying about what other people are doing. Lift your hands high. Shout your voice high to your Savior.